Please turn in your scriptures to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, you'll find this on page 1207 in the supplied Bibles. Tonight I want to encourage you to take confidence in your unchangeable God. Take confidence in your unchangeable God. And in studying for this, reading the larger catechism question, I wondered, why does it not say unchanging? God is not unchanging or unchanged, but instead it says God is unchangeable. And the reason for that is we see in life people, and we see in the scriptures even God's people changed by forces acting on them from the outside. They lose their footing on the firm foundation, and they allow themselves to be changed by pressures of fear, anxiety, pain, doubt, and they end up something or someone they weren't intended to be. Men's gods, Muhammad, Brahma, all of them changed by outside forces acting upon them, reacting with passions, with anger, with new ideas. But our God is unchangeable. There is no force that can act upon him to change him. And he has sworn repeatedly that he will not change. This is good news for the believer, because it means that your footing will never slip if you stand on the rock that is Christ. This is why we don't build our house on sand. Sand is changeable. The waters that beat against it change it. The sun that bakes it changes it. Those who dig into it change it. But the rock doesn't change. So let's read James chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord, our unchangeable God. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will fade away. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. May the Lord bless the hearing and now the preaching of his word, God the unchanging one. If it were not so, this book would be useless. Your time would be wasted, and you would be the saddest of all people. Because as you go through life daily declaring, follow my God, love my God, and be rewarded, you could never count on that. If God was changeable, he would not be omniscient or omnipotent. He would be that God that the world claims and some misinformed Christians claim is looking on to see what happens. He would be that God who looks ahead and says, oh, Billy Joe's going to do this. Huh. I guess I better do that. That is not the God of the Scriptures. The God of the Scriptures sets his plan in place and carries them out. He is unchanging and unchangeable. And it's because of that we can count on all these promises. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Which of us has broken a promise? Have you ever broken a promise to someone? And I don't mean that you were intentionally moving forward to be deceitful. I mean that you promised to be at work at 12 o'clock and halfway there your car broke down. Totally out of your hands, right? Yes. Broken promise? Yes. But God is unchangeable. There is no outside circumstance that works on God and twists him. And so when he promises, it always comes true. When he promises, it will always be so. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. How could he keep his word if he changed? God's people changed. We read about that in Malachi. And we saw more of it. We saw it in the Older Testament. We saw it in the Newer Testament. Consider the Israelites. They swore fealty to God. They received miracles. They saw the plagues that God struck the Egyptians with to set his people free. They saw him divide a sea and let them walk across it. And so they were pumped up. They were excited. They were brave. They were faithful. They were warriors for Christ. Till they get hungry. Their hunger changed them. And they said, why'd even bring us out here to die? At least in Egypt, we could eat leeks and onions. How desperate do you have to be for that to be what you're looking back at? They didn't say we could go back and eat lamb. They didn't say we could go back and eat baked bread. They said, let's go back and eat leeks and onions. They changed. Nadab and Abihu, priests, sons of Aaron the high priest, they knew God's word and will. And yet, something caused them to change. And they offered unauthorized fire. Now, I want to point out something. The scriptures don't say they offered false fire. The scriptures don't say they introduced a pagan god. The scriptures say they did that which was not authorized. How serious was that? God killed them. Why? Because God is unchangeable, and he is holy, and he has said, if you do this to me, I will strike you down. This to him, he will strike you down. The one saving grace was that Jesus Christ allowed himself to be struck down for you. Because we sin against this holy God every day in word, in thought, and in deed, and we should be struck down because he is unchangeable. How unchangeable is he? He struck down his son for you. Unchangeable. Consider Moses. Moses struck the rock when he was not supposed to. God had called Moses in a miraculous, fantastic way. He had worked incredibly in his life. He used him to save an entire nation. And when Moses sinned against him, God said, that's it. You're not going into the promised land. An entire generation kept from seeing the promise. The only one allowed to even look upon it was Moses. But his feet were not permitted to touch it, because this same God is unchangeable. Consider Ananias and Sapphira, part of the church. And as God was establishing his church, and the other members were selling off goods and property and possessions and bringing it in and putting it at the feet of the apostles in support of the church. Remember what God said about bringing the whole tithe in Malachi? They lied. God struck them down. Only because he doesn't change are we not destroyed. What did he say? He said, because he doesn't change, the faithful will be saved. The remnant will be restored. Those to whom he made the promise would be saved. This is what he said to us through the prophet. Only because he doesn't change, are we not destroyed? Because Jesus Christ took his wrath in our place. If he had not, none of us would be here right now. No man would walk the earth right now. Because all men are born under the penalty of sin and worthy of death. You, me, all. But because he keeps his word, because he doesn't go, I know I said my son would take it, but I'm sick of you. We are not slain. Celebrate that. And fight your sin. When you think about your unchangeable God, this God who doesn't lash out in uncontrolled anger, all of a sudden forgetting what he promised, let that push you to not sin. Let the thankfulness for that greet you in the morning and at noon and at bedtime. And say, Lord, I sinned against you today. You didn't deserve that. You've been so good to me. You love me so much. And look how I respond. You should kill me. Is that an insane statement for you to hear? You should kill me. Is that holy? But because he is unchangeable, our sin doesn't drive him over the edge. Because our debt has been paid. Paid by Jesus Christ. Fear God and obey him. Love him with all that you are. These are the words of John Gresham Machen. Even the Christian must fear God. But it is another kind of fear. It is a fear rather of what might have been than of what is. It is a fear of what would come were we not in Christ. Without such fear, there can be no true love. For love of the Savior is proportioned to one's horror of that from which man has been saved. And how strong are the lives that are suffused with such a love. They are lives brave, not because the realities of life have been ignored, but because they have first been faced. Lives that are founded upon the solid foundation of God's grace. May such lives be ours. What is this man saying? Reminding you that hell is real and exists for the enemies of Christ. When we sin, we betray the Holy One. When you are in love and you cheat on your spouse, betray your vows, the love of that person, and your promise before God. That person doesn't have the ability to throw you into hell. And the word tells us, fear not the one who can kill the body. Fear the one who can throw body and soul into hell. And what we've been reminded of here is to love that one because he doesn't. The vow that he took, there will be no adultery. The vow that he took, there will be no striking out in rage with violence against his loved one. That vow that he took will lift you up higher than you ever dreamed you could go and never let you fall. What pressures today threaten to take you away from your faithfulness? COVID? Is it an out-of-control politician? Is it a lack of work? Let me remind you, the Lord has said that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all of our needs will be added to us. Let me guarantee you that he has kept this promise to you, each and every one of you individually and as a family of Christ. How do I know that? How can I say that with complete confidence? If there had been even a moment in your life, a split second, where you didn't get absolutely everything you need to live, you would not live. Simple logic. If you were an astronaut and you went to the moon and you got out without your helmet on, done, gone. If you went into the ocean and did not have oxygen, done, gone. If even for a moment of your life, even when you were hungry, even when you were lonely, even when you were afraid, even when you hurt, not for one moment in the midst of that were you deprived of what you need for life. God provided. And the fact that you are here breathing now is proof of that. And here's the thing, beloved, listen to me. When that day comes, what? You're going somewhere better anyway. You win. Win. Because God is unchangeable. Never break His word. He will never, ever, ever break His word. Malachi chapter 4, page 953. Malachi chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4. Listen to this. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. This is your unchangeable God. He will never, never break that promise. And I've got just another word for you from the Lord that I want you to remember. You see, when you trust in Jesus Christ, when you give Him everything that you are, when you rise in the morning and you wake the dawn with your praises, when you sin, but you repent of that sin, when you share the word with others, when you love the family of Christ, when you love your enemies, when you spend time in His word, in worship, in singing the Psalms, you draw closer to your unchangeable God and you live in His promise. Hear this. This portion of Hebrews has the wonderful subtitle, The Changeless Christ. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, And the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Took your wrath so that we would not have to. You knew we'd need it. You knew we'd need that sacrifice. And you provided in the most painful way possible. Thank you for being the one unchangeable constant in all of our creation. We will praise you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.